Well, I would like for you to pray all you can in lesson two while I endeavor to bring some thoughts out from God's Word. I want them to be profitable and to be a blessing to us. I pray that they will. I want you to pray that they will. And I want to turn our thoughts now to the 13th chapter of Genesis, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now last Sunday we had a little message about spiritual perspective, spiritual vision. I want to talk some more about that. We discussed in the thought, or in the lesson last Sunday, the thought of light, and that light makes manifest. Light lays out the course for us. And light reveals to us our responsibilities and duties and requirements in the service of God. It also reveals to us our privileges and our friends' benefits. And everything that is available to us in the gospel of Christ, the purchase of Christ's blood, light reveals that too. Many people aren't enjoying everything they could because they don't know that they could. They don't know that they can have it. I'd like to add this thought to what I said last Sunday and several thoughts concerning if you be one, I hope you're not, I hope there's no one in here like that, but I know there are people like this that are inclined to kind of pass over the parts of God's Word that deals with our responsibilities and duties and commandments, and then try to latch on to that part of it that deals with our privileges and benefits. I would like to bring you the news, you'll not have very much success in obtaining the benefits and privileges. God's Word, all of it, is for all of us.
Amen.
Sometimes people come to me after I've brought a message and it kind of struck home and they say, did you mean me? I said, yeah, you and me too. God's Word's for all of us. And all of it is for all of us. And we will find it much easier to receive our benefits and our privileges and enjoy them if we are just as ready to receive the commandments and that part of God's Word that teaches us our duties and our responsibilities. Now, if I speak of responsibilities, I speak of you and me too. All of us have responsibilities in the work of the Lord, and in seeing that the work of the Lord goes on, we all have our part in that.
Amen.
And we have our individual responsibilities to God. And in measuring up to the truth, in walking in the light, those are commandments from God, but they mean you and me too.
Yes.
And they are just as important as the parts that tell us how to live. I mean, as the parts that tell us what our privileges and benefits are in the gospel. And there are many. Now the word of God says, in thy light shall we see light. And as we walk in the light, as we measure up to the truth, more is going to open up to us. Being in the light will just help us to get more light. And walking in the truth, I remember I told you last Sunday, and I've told you before too, about the man that saw the ocean for the first time, and he reached the coast, looked out over the water, and out there to where to the horizon where it looked like the water and the sky met, and he thought that was the other side of it, and he said, huh. Is that all there is to it? I thought it'd be bigger than that. Well, that kind of measures some folks' perspective of the gospel and of a Christian life and living a Christian life and enjoying the benefits of Christian living. They see about so much and that's it. And some folks can't see past the end of their nose. But the things that we see out there, that just seems to be all of it to us. But what would have happened to the man that saw the ocean and thought he was seeing it all if he'd have gotten in a ship and started out on the ocean? The farther he went, the more ocean he would have seen. That's the way it is if you and I are faithful to walk in the light of God and to go right along with Him. The farther we go, the more truth will open up to us, and the more light we'll see. Now in this passage that I read to you this morning, it presents to us a great difficulty that numbers of people have in developing spiritual vision and perspective. And it consists in their attachment to other people and to other things. This says that the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separated from him. Now that's a key point there. That's important. After Lot was separated from him. Now God didn't show Abraham all of these things. In fact, he didn't give him any vision at all until Lot was separated from him. Now Abram proved himself a big man in his dealings with Lot. He went out there. God told him to go out there. Didn't tell him where he was going. Said, I'll just show you when you get there. And the writer of the Hebrew epistle mentions Abram, how that he went out by faith, not knowing whether he went. He's just going to be shown when he got there. So he went. But he didn't know he was in the land. He didn't know what it afforded. He was there, but he didn't know it. Now, after Lot was separated from him, God began to open up and unfold, reveal things to Abram. You know, our attachments to people and our trying to make room for other people and our trying to make excuses for other people and kind of cover up for other folks and kind of try to make a way through. All of this clouds our vision, and we come out with less vision than what we had to start with. And we become confused in the matter of the indecision, seeing what is right, but here I want this fellow along too, and I'm going to try to make some room for him, try to make some concessions here. And that dims our vision. I'm going to try to excuse him a little and cover up for him a little bit. And it dims our vision of spiritual and eternal things. God would have you and me stand just as clear and plain and firm for the truth if it's our own beloved companion, bosom companion of our life that's in error. As if it's somebody out there that's not anything to us at all. Now, God said to Abraham, or Abram, his name wasn't changed yet, said to him, lift up now your eyes and look from where you are. Folks, did you know that's the only place you can look from? Absolutely the only place you can look from is right from where you are.
Yes,
some folks are in a better vantage point than other people are, and consequently they can see more. They can get a better vision. But if you're hid behind something, that's the only place you can look from. You can't see much. I've thought numbers of times driving the highway, Interstate 5 down south here, going by Mount Shasta. And out there close to the highway, there's another little mountain, just a hill kind of by the side of Mount Shasta. But it's close up there. And when you're passing by that, you can't see Mount Shasta. It's just right back over there. You can see it for 100 miles maybe, or 75 before you get there. Coming up from the south, I've seen Mount Shasta from way down there below Redding. And you can see it for a long way, but you get up there driving along by the side of that little hill and you can't see it. The hill just hides your vision. People are like that. People in their spiritual perspective are like that. You've got something up here and it hinders you from seeing that thing that's much greater than it is, but you can't see around it. I tell people that the greatest hindrance to anybody in actually discerning and getting a vision of God's will for their life is in contending with their own will. It's very difficult to discern God's will when you got your own up there and are contending with it. You'll not be able to see God's way clearly as long as you got your way up there and are wanting to make a little excuse for it and cover up some for it and kind of make a way through for your own way, your own will. You'll never See God's will. If you want to see God's will thoroughly and clearly for your life, it involves a total surrender and commitment of your life to God and to God's will and to God's way. You'll never have a clear vision of these things until you can make a total, full, complete commitment of your life to God's will and way. There are some definite total commitments involved in this. We consider Jacob now. His story is told in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, verses 22 through 29. He's coming back from Laban's home now, and he's acquired a couple of wives and several children and a lot of flocks and herds and become quite a wealthy man, working for his father-in-law over there. But when he comes to a certain point, he receives a message that Esau, his brother Esau, is right over there coming to meet him. Well, Esau was threatening his life when he left. That's the reason he left. His mother sent him away to protect his life. Esau was going to destroy him because he had taken Esau's birthright and obtained Esau's blessing. And so Esau was very unhappy with him and was going to destroy him, and that's the reason he left. And now he hears that his brother Esau, with a considerable army of men, is coming over there along the way that he's going to meet him. Well, he's in trouble now. I don't know how it's going to be when I meet my brother. He was pretty angry with me when I left. And now he's got a whole army of men over there coming with him. They're coming after me. So, what did he do? He put his servants, his flocks, his herds, his two wives, and all of their children, he put them on across the brook, and he was left alone. He had a problem to solve. He had a situation to work out there. He was the only one that could do it, and he had to do it on his own. He had to get loose from the influence and the connection of even his wives and his own offspring and all of his worldly possessions. Folks, let me tell you, if you want to get a good spiritual perspective and understand the will of God and have a good spiritual vision, you've got to be very loosely connected to the material things of this world. This man sent all of his flocks and his herds, represented all of his wealth. He sent that all on over there across the brook. And his wives and his children, that represented his life. He sent that all over there across the brook. Everything. And he was left alone. And there appeared a man wrestling with him. And he wrestled with him till the breaking of the dawn. The man, who was actually the Lord himself, an angel of the Lord, when a day was breaking, he said, "Let me go." Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. I need a blessing. I'm in trouble here. I've got a problem to solve. I've got a situation to work out. My life's at stake in this. I'll not let you go till you bless me. And he just held on to him, and the man touched the hollow of his thigh and throwed his hip out of joint, and Jacob limped the rest of his life. Made him a cripple, but he held on. And the Lord blessed him. What came out of that? We don't know how much. We couldn't evaluate what actually came out of that. But God told him, said, I have blessed you now because as a prince you have prevailed with God. Folks, if you and I want a good, clear spiritual vision and perspective to direct our lives and set our course, we're going to have to cut loose from our material possessions and from those that are the nearest and dearest to us in our hearts and in our lives, and stand before God and wrestle with Him to settle our own problems. Work out our own situations. Now God said to Abraham, lift up now your eyes and look from where you are. Folks, let me tell you, you can't look from the mountaintop when you're down here in the valley. And when you're down in the valley, you can't see as far and as well as you can when you're on the mountaintop.
Amen.
You just have to look from where you are. And that's going to be your perspective of your spiritual duties and responsibilities between you and God, and of the commandments of God, the things that govern your life, and of your privileges and benefits in the gospel of God. That'll be your perspective, just what you see from where you are. So my advice to you, if you want to see farther, climb higher. Get on up above the mess and the fogs of men's traditions and theories and ideas and opinions, and up above human reasonings.
Amen.
Up high on Mount Zion, where the air is pure ethereal, where the sunlight of God's love shines through, where the vision is good and clear all the way through, you'll be able to see much more from up there than you can from down here in the little beggarly realm of the self life and the flesh life. Now he said, look from where you are. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. He was where he could look in all directions from the vantage point in which he stood. God wants you there. He wants me there. He wants us where we can look in all directions, in front and behind and on the right hand and on the left, northward, southward, eastward and westward, and can see things all around us that we're in the midst of. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, That's important, folks. All the land that thou seest. Now, Abram's inheritance for him and his posterity depended on how far he could see. How much his eyes could behold. All that you see, I'm going to give you. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Luke in verse 32, he said, "Fear not, little children, a little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now I say that when you get the kingdom, you get everything in it, but you have to see it. You're not going to inherit anything you don't see. We need to occupy a vantage point cut free and separated from all attachments, materially and physically and humanly and every way, where nothing's going to obstruct our vision. All that you see, I'll give you. Do you see power over all the powers of the enemy? All of it? All the powers of the enemy? Nothing by any means hurting you? Do you see that in the economy of God's grace? If so, that's available to you, but you have to see it before you can actually lay hold upon it. All the land that you see. Joshua said, or God said to Joshua, he said, "Move forward, be of good courage, go in and possess the land, just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you, and every place that the sole of your foot treads, that's yours, I give it to you." Folks, the blessings and privileges of God that are provided for us in the economy of His grace, we have to go in and take it. And the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We have to go right in against all of the forceful, violent opposition of the enemy against us and against our souls and take it. The violent take it by force. We've got to take it by a violent effort. Plant our feet on it. Claim it as ours. God's promises belong to the children of God, but we must take them. We must claim them. We must stand upon them one at a time by faith to receive the benefits of them. And in order to do it, you've got to cut loose from every attachment. To stand alone on your own between you and God to work out your problem and to solve your situation. All that you see, I'll give it to you. It's yours. How much do you see? I dare say everybody in here, and you too, preacher, is living beneath our privileges. That there's higher heights and deeper depths and longer lengths and broader breadths in the things of God and the economy of His grace than any of us has ever touched yet. And we'll never touch them till we see them. Amen. We must walk in the light that we have, that God can reveal greater light to us, and we can see the things that are available to us in the economy of His grace. In the 48th Psalm, verses 12 and 13, we have instruction like this. It says, rise. That brings to my mind now another scripture in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in about verse 14 maybe. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. We must desire light if we're going to see any light. We must desire a broader and more far-reaching spiritual vision if we're ever going to attain to one, have one. If we are willing to settle down where we are and settle for what we have, let me advise you that complacency is where you begin to stagnate. When we cease to progress and grow and increase in the things of God to lengthen and broaden our spiritual perspective and vision, we begin to stagnate. And somebody said a long while ago, I don't know who said this, they said stagnation was the next station to damnation. That's going to be the end of that kind of a situation and condition. If we allow stagnation to set up in our spiritual life, damnation's the next station. That's the next thing. Let us never settle for what we have. Yes, in a way. Appreciate what we have. Thank God for our salvation and for everything. But let us never settle for that, but just keep moving on to greater things. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As long as we are complacent and in a sleepy state and condition and lethargic in our Christian life and all, God's not going to bother to give you and me light and knowledge of His will if He doesn't see that we're going to get up and buck the opposition and do His will. He's not going to bother to reveal His will to us. His will for our lives, He has to see a tendency and a disposition in us that whatever God reveals to me, that's it. And I'm going right after that. In the face of all opposition and in the face of having to cut loose from every connection materially and physically and humanly, I'm going for that, whatever God reveals to my soul. Rise, walk about Zion. Note the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Note the palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Folks, did you know? If you haven't known, I hope you will know. I hope you'll listen to me now. But the spiritual vision and the spiritual standards of Christian living, the spiritual perspective on the broadness and the greatness and the height and the depth, the vision of truth that our children have is going to depend pretty much on us. And the kind of vision we have. And the kind of standard and example we live before our children. He says, note all these things, survey them, go from corner to corner, get around Mount Zion and survey the place, its towers, its palaces, its bulwarks, everything connected with it, that ye may tell it to the generations following. Much depends on each generation for how things are going to be with the succeeding generations. Amen.